Another outside the box, worth every penny. Today's topic is living wage. Every person needs the basics: enough food, comfortable and dry shelter, clean air and water, a way to maintain good health, and other physiological needs. But not everyone gets enough money or resources to access them. Something's wrong with our economy when so many work so hard but don't get paid enough to afford those basics. Shouldn't everyone get paid a living wage for the work they do so they can meet their basic needs? The minimum wage of $7.25 an hour in this country makes it clear we don't value many people's work enough. It hasn't changed since 2009. Even though the cost of living has gone up almost 50% in the last 15 years. Some states have raised that number, but 20 states still maintain the $7.25 figure. For tipped workers, that minimum of $2.13 hasn't changed since 1991. If workers had a living wage that guaranteed their basic needs, one calculation is that minimum living wage would be $26 per hour. From 1948 to 1973, productivity almost doubled, but so did wages. Since 1973, productivity rose another 72%, but wages have only gone up 9% after inflation. Where have all the profits gone? They go almost entirely to owners and stockholders, not to workers. And low as the minimum wage is, not everyone even makes that skimpy amount. People with disabilities often are paid a sub-minimum wage because they have a disability and are considered less competent. Farm workers and domestic workers have never been covered by minimum wage laws because most were and still are people of color. In Maine, a minimum wage law was just passed to cover farm workers in 2025, and tipped workers only get that $2.13 per hour, depending on tips for almost their entire earnings. Low minimum wages are justified because they're supposed to be primarily for teens just starting in the workforce, but teenagers make up only 1/6 nationwide of all minimum wage employees, whose average age is 35. Workers have put up with a lot just to hang on to their jobs. Human and civil rights are not always honored in the workplace, especially when there is union organizing taking place. Some workers are victims of wage theft, especially if their legal status is in doubt. Many work erratic and unpredictable schedules with different hours per week or month and varying pay and benefits, making life chaotic and finding childcare nearly impossible. There's the threat of automation of an employer shutting its doors or moving to a state or country with a lower wage. Some large employers are better than others. Costco and many small businesses seem to have a more pro-worker attitude, while Amazon is at the bottom of almost every list because of its emphasis on speed over worker safety. Resistance to unionization is almost a given for every employer. Most business owners, especially those with a large number of employees, blame workers for a lack of initiative, not an economic system that rewards a few and condemns many to jobs they don't want at unlivable wages. A good beginning in ensuring a living wage for every worker is having a minimum wage indexed to inflation that approximates what workers need to cover their basic needs. Australia has done that to some extent. Its minimum wage indexed to inflation is just under $25 an hour as of July 1st, 2025. Meanwhile, in almost half the U.S., with a cost of living at least as high as in Australia, our minimum is $7.25. The highest minimum wage in this country is Washington, D.C.'s $17.50 per hour. The MIT wage calculator, livingwage.mit.edu, provides living wage, minimum wage, and poverty wage figures for every state, county, and many cities throughout the U.S. In Bangor, where I live, the living wage would be $22.25 per hour for one single person. The minimum wage is $14.65 per hour, and the so-called poverty wage for a single adult is $7.50 per hour. The wage calculator also estimates the various costs that a person with or without children would bear: food, housing, medical, transportation, child care, utilities, and other expenses. Even two adults with no children, both working full-time, need more than what the current minimum wage provides just to meet basic needs. Henry Ford had some terrible qualities, but Ford knew enough to pay workers adequately so they could buy the cars they made. A living wage, safe and pleasant working conditions, and respect for workers would enable an employer to minimize turnover and increase productivity, thus enabling the business or organization to prosper and grow. If CEOs and stockholders prioritize that, it would be a win-win for everyone. Do you work, or have you ever worked for a minimum wage, or know others who do? How are they managing? How are they treated? I'm Larry Danziger, amazed that so many manage to get by on so little and wishing they could get a living wage.